Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging.
We're going to read through a passage which is spoken by Job's friend Eliphaz. Eliphaz comes to Job's side to bring counsel to Job. Now, just a short background so that we can be familiar with Job. We all know Job. In chapters 1 and 2, we read about Job's suffering. Job loses his children, he loses his health, and he loses his possessions all within a matter of a short time. And so he's obviously in mourning, and we see that in chapters 1, 2, and 3. Job's very sad, rightfully so. And also in the first part of Job, we find out kind of behind the scenes, we learn about the devil's conversation with God about the devil, how God is allowing Satan to take these things from Job, because God knows that Job's a righteous man and he will not curse God. God is using this as a challenge to Job to test his faith and show that Job's truly a righteous man and faithful man regardless of his situations, which is why we can certainly look to Job as a great example for us to follow. I want to look at Eliphaz as he comes in with his counsel to Job. He starts in chapter 4. I want to start reading chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. This is the word of the Lord. "Call if you will, but who will answer you? To which of these holy ones will you turn? Resentment kills a fool, and envy slays the simple. I myself have seen a fool taking root, but suddenly his house was cursed. His children are far from safety, crushed in court without a defender. The hungry consume his harvest, taking it even from among thorns, and the thirsty pant after his wealth. For hardship does not spring from the soil, nor does trouble sprout from the ground. Yet man is born to trouble, as surely as the sparks fly upward." All right, so I want to walk through this passage, which is Eliphaz is speaking to Job. And I have a few points if you do want to take notes. We're going to talk about this Eliphaz and where he's right and where he is wrong with his counsel. So point number one, Eliphaz is confident. That's my first point. What is he confident about? He is confident that suffering is caused by sin. And that sounds pretty good. Is that true? Is that right? Suffering caused by sin. Okay. Well, he's certainly confident about it. He says in verse 1, "Call if you will, who will answer you? Who will you turn?" Speaking to Job, he's simply saying, Job, no, you don't have any other options. This is your only option to realize that you've sinned. And again, in verse 2, he says, "Resentment kills a fool and envy slays the simple." He's simply saying, you have been resentful, you have been envious, and that is why there has been destruction in your life. Now, is that true? Is that good counsel? Suffering is caused by sin. There's a sense where we know this to be true. In fact, if Eliphaz, it seems as if Eliphaz certainly knows his Bible. In fact, he knows God. One thing we can say about Eliphaz is that he does know God's character, because certainly God is a God who's holy and does punish sin. We can be sure of that. Even if we look at a verse like Proverbs 14, verse 11, it's almost as if Eliphaz could quote this proverb to Job. The proverb says, "The house of the wicked will be destroyed, and the tent of the upright will flourish." So he's simply saying, if you're wicked, you're destroyed. If you're righteous, you'll flourish. Pretty simple, right? This is the logical following that Eliphaz puts together. He's seeing that Job is suffering, therefore Job has sin in his life. Or what about Deuteronomy 11? Deuteronomy as a whole, the book, speaks often of blessings and curses. For example, chapter 11, verses 27 and 28, God says, "See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord, which I command you, and the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord." Again, that's true, right? We see that in our lives. Blessing comes for those of us who follow God's commandments. Curses upon those that don't. Okay. Or think about King David, his firstborn son. Why was King David's firstborn son killed? You read in 2 Samuel 12, it was because of David's sin that his firstborn son was taken. Okay? So we see that God does act like this sometimes, where suffering is caused by specific sins. But is that a proper counsel to speak to someone who is suffering? You see, Eliphaz is making definitive statements for everyone, everywhere. And that's his problem with his counsel, is that isn't always the case, as we'll see. Point number two is that Eliphaz is confused. This is where he is confused regarding how the holiness of God applies to your life specifically. All right? He's simply saying, Job, your actions have caused your undoing. But Job knows that's not true. If we even look back into Job chapter 4, which is earlier on in Eliphaz's counsel to Job, in verse 7, he says, "Consider now who, being innocent, has ever perished, or where were the upright ever destroyed?" Which is just simply a way of saying what he's been saying. He says, if you're innocent, you're fine. If you, obviously, you have seen destruction in your life, therefore, it's because of your sin. And by the way, we are all tempted to think like this at times in terms of applying sin to certain people's suffering. I was thinking about this because I had my brother-in-law had made a mention of another man from his church whose wife had left him. And not having known this particular situation at all, or knowing the guy, what was my first thought? My first thought was, what did he do? He must have sinned for his wife to have left him. But as I kept thinking about that, I couldn't agree with that particular conclusion. Is it possible that Satan would get a hold of a woman and take her away from a loving and faithful husband? And you know what? Yeah, I can't say that that has never happened. And or we think like that sometimes even with like a rebellious child from a family, a Christian family, loving mom and dad, and the child leaves, decides to abandon the faith. Why? Oh, I know why. Because they didn't really pray enough. Parents, you know, I think they missed a morning devotion once. Right? Does that just happen? The disciples thought like this too. The passage from John 9, which Pastor Steve read. Disciples saw a blind man. You got a blind man. What do they say? What do they assume? Well, who sinned? Was it the blind man's parents or was it the blind man? You know, I'm sure he probably lusted at some point, right? Right? Mm-hmm. What does Jesus say? Wrong. Neither. It doesn't always work like that. See, Eliphaz does not have a place in his theology for non-punitive discipline, which simply is a way of saying that sometimes things don't go the way we planned. Sometimes God works in ways that cause us suffering regardless of sin in our own life. Look at verses 4 and 5. Eliphaz gets kind of mean, almost you could say, almost in a passive-aggressive way. He says, I have seen a fool taking root. I've seen his house being cursed. Who could he be talking about? Was it Job's children? Were the one Job's children were crushed in the gate? We find that in Job 1. So Eliphaz is confused. He's simply saying to Job, you're a horrible person, and you need to repent. We find this a good example of this and how God sometimes allows for unexpected situations to happen in Deuteronomy chapter 19, where Moses is laying out the laws of the land, and he's speaking about the cities of refuge for Israel, which is where specifically for manslayer to run to in a situation as follows. Deuteronomy 19, verses 4 and 5, for example. This is the law. This is the provision for the manslayer who, by fleeing to the cities of refuge, may save his life. If anyone kills his neighbor unintentionally without having hated him in the past, as, for example, when someone goes into the forest with his neighbor to cut wood, and his hand swings the axe to cut down a tree, and the head slips off from the handle and strikes his neighbor so that he dies, he may flee to one of the cities and live. So here we have example in the law where he's simply saying, hey, accidents happen, right? The manslayer accidentally killed his neighbor. Now, why does the city of refuge exist? Because the neighbor's friends and family are going to be mad at the manslayer. And rightfully so, because the friends and family do not know the intention. They're going to assume that he did it on purpose. So we see an example here where God provides a way for us to understand that not all suffering is the result of sin, which in that case would have been hatred. You would assume that hatred caused the killing, but it's not true. I want to jump down to verse 7 in the text and kind of focus on this for a minute, which brings me to my third point, which is simply that first we learn Eliphaz is confident, two, Eliphaz is confused, and third, kind of maybe surprisingly, Eliphaz is correct. Verse 7, man is born to trouble. That's completely true. Job actually echoes the same thing. In Job 14, verse 1, it says, man is born of woman, is a few days and full of trouble. You know, that verse doesn't make it on the birth certificate when you bring the balloons to the hospital. But it's true. Man is born to trouble. If you've lived more than a day in this world, we know it to be true. Things don't go as planned. Things don't work out. That particular word, trouble, in the Hebrew, I'm not going to try to pronounce it, but I do know from my studying that the word has alternative meanings. So the word trouble can also mean worry, grievance, labor, mischief, misery, pain, perverseness, sorrow, toil, travail, wearisome, and wickedness. Yeah, that pretty much sums up Monday. This is Eliphaz's acknowledging of what theologians call total depravity, which just simply means that we are born in sin, and it does affect all of us, and it's why we have trouble. And how do we deal? How do we deal with trouble? Because we all have to deal with it. A book I read by an author, Paul Tripp, he spoke of many counseling sessions that he had as a pastor, counseling many of his congregants. One thing that he mentioned was that a common theme he found coming over and over again in his counseling sessions with his congregants was that many of them became disillusioned with Christianity or with God, particularly because things weren't working out the way that they planned. You know, my marriage is struggling. That's not what I signed up for, right? Or, you know, I have this health problem that's not going away, and I'm praying that it'll leave, and it's not going away. And he found that this was a constant theme in his counseling sessions. And sure enough, how many men and women that we've known or have heard of that have abandoned the faith because of trouble, because of things not going out as planned? I believe it happens all the time, and particularly because people don't understand exactly what the purpose of trouble is, or they think that somehow heaven is automatically coming to earth as soon as you accept Christ in your heart, so to speak. So what do we do with that? Born to trouble. Why have children? Why have children? I mean, this world is so bad, and they are going to be depraved little sinners. Maybe it'd be better just not to have children at all. I was kind of did some poking around online. I found a website, healthguidance.org. I found 7 reasons why I don't want children. A couple highlights. I'll read them. Number 1, it signals the end of your youth. Yeah, probably true. Number 2, it can ruin your marriage. Number 3, it's expensive. Yeah. Number 4, they are messy. They are messy. Number 5, they're a lot of stress. 6, everyone wants you to do it. And number 7 was my favorite. You can get a dog. Yeah, because, you know, a dog is cheap, clean, and stress-free, right? Mm-hmm. Other reasons I found: pregnancy ruins your body. Freedom, it's gone. Children are gross. And finally, you're doing the world a favor. And that one kind of got me a little bit. Like, as if the world is wicked enough, you're doing the child a favor by not bringing them into the world. That got me kind of upset. And I was thinking, man, how about we raise up some godly children to go out and be lights and salt in this world of darkness? Maybe that instead. Maybe the world needs some of that. Now, obviously, marriage, this is not a diatribe against those parents who don't have children or can't have children, because marriage is not about kids, marriage is about Christ. But I'm simply saying sometimes we can fall into this thinking as if, like, if we don't do something, life will be easier or life will be trouble-free. But I'm sorry, whether you have kids or not, your life is not going to be trouble-free. Trouble is coming. Car accidents are a part of life. Bugs are going to get in your house. Straining relationships with friends are inevitable. You won't see eye to eye on everything. Health problems abound. As I was reading the book of Proverbs, in my studies, I found this verse in Proverbs 27:12, and I thought it was an important caveat to add. Proverbs 27:12 simply says, "The prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it." And so this is a reminder for me as I was thinking this through. This is not we are not, as Christians, called to go out looking for trouble. Right, it is a wise man who does seek to avoid trouble, which is why we would say, yes, wear a seatbelt. Yes, you can install security cameras for your business. And yes, please secure the axe head to the axe handle. And don't take a bath with your toaster. These are all things that we would do as wise Christians to avoid trouble. But again, trouble is inevitable, a result of the fall from Adam and Eve's sin. Acts 14:22, interesting verse, says, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. Speaking of the apostles and how the different difficult tribulations that they had to go through in order to advance the kingdom. So why does God ordain trouble? Well, unfortunately, I don't have all the answers for us. One thing we do know is that tribulation, causes us not to trust in ourselves. Instead, it forces us to trust in Christ. God prizes humility. 1 Peter 5:6, God opposes the proud, gives grace to the humble. Sometimes suffering is what we need to make us humble. A verse that I memorized years ago and I think is an important one to memorize and hold on to was Jesus' words from John 16, verse 33, where he simply says, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world." That's a promise we can hold on to and know. Through our troubles, they're inevitable. They're coming. They're part of our life until we get to heaven one day. And we can always look to Christ. Hebrews 5:8 reminds us that Christ himself learned obedience through what was suffered. Christ suffered. The crucifixion was an awful event, and it was perpetuated by people who wanted to kill him for no reason. He did nothing wrong, yet he himself had to suffer, even though we know Jesus never did sin. And it is through the crucifixion that we receive that we got the resurrection. And the resurrection is what we hold on to that secures us in our faith and what we believe. Without the resurrection, you cannot have resurrection without the crucifixion. So thank God that we don't live in a world of Hindu philosophy which teaches karma, that says your actions have particular consequences on your eternal life. If you are bad in this life, you will get reincarnated as a snail or a cow or who knows what. But instead, we can be thankful for God's promises. As we were studying this morning in Psalm 103, had that verse that reminded that I thought is applicable about thank God that God does not treat us as our sins deserve. And that's certainly a promise we can be thankful for, hold on to. If we're giving counsel to those suffering, may we not conclude that their suffering is a result of their sin in particular. We know, generally speaking, that's true. Suffering is caused by sin in the world and in our lives. But beware of attributing specific suffering because of people's specific sins. That is God's knowing, not our knowing. And I believe that's how we walk by faith and not by sight. Not to always have all the answers is okay. So may we look to Christ and trust in him and be thankful. Be thankful for trouble, for it will draw us to him. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful for your word, which comes to us. We're thankful for your son, Jesus, who came and learned obedience through suffering on this earth, even though we know he did not have sin. Thank you for your promises to son, that one day we will be in a world, live in a world without sin, that heaven is awaiting those of us who trust in you, and we can look forward to the day where there will no longer be suffering and trouble. Pray all this in the name of your son. Amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151. or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.